This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Finley Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk about our Braves, and we got a lot to talk about. Grant McCauley is here with us. Grant, yesterday, as the game played out against the Rays, it's like, okay, Chris Sale, you knew he didn't have his best stuff, and Chris owned it after the game. Six hits, four runs, four and a third. But, Grant, it's hard to win when you're struggling already, when your ace, or at least, you know, last year's ace, is not being a stopper. Talk about what you saw from Sale yesterday.
It is. I think it's just been more of a grind for him, and yesterday was probably the biggest example of that. The first couple of starts, I really kind of thought that he pitched better than the line was. Then we had that kind of confusing one the time before this where the velocity started to tick down, and then you wondered, okay, well, what's going on there? He was able to quiet those questions, but in terms of just overall consistency execution, he just couldn't find it. And there will be those starts. That does happen from time to time. There were so few of them last year, though, that I think it feels very out of character. But more to the point, the Braves certainly need their ace to step up. They need everybody to step up from a pitching perspective because it's just a razor-thin margin of error for this offense because it's simply not clicking. And the Braves are 29th in Major League Baseball with 49 runs scored. They're one of the worst clubs with runners in scoring position. One of the ones that's actually worse than the Braves might surprise you, though. It's the first-place New York Mets. They're actually hitting about 20 points lower with runners in scoring position than the Braves are. That surprised me, but I'm the person that's supposed to be looking for these numbers and trying to tell you what they mean, and I don't know what that means, other than baseball is a very strange game, and it feels like the Braves have been served a lot of very strange hands to try to make the best out of, and they're still having to kind of grind through it overall as a group and individually, as the case may be for a guy like Chris Sale yesterday.
Yeah, the Mets are batting 215, but they won eight of their last 10, so go figure that one out. All right, Grant, we know that they're going to try to shake things up. When guys go, they're going to get rid of Snicker, I say, what's he supposed to do? He's only got, 25 guys he can use. So we love Michael Harris, but he's just not shown it as a leadoff guy. They're going to shake it up, put Ozzie in leadoff. They're going to drop Harris into the sixth spot tonight. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, Ozzie against a lefty is kind of the big thing to take away. Whenever he gets a spot at leadoff, or a start rather, at leadoff, it's going to be because he's a right-handed hitter that wears out lefties, and why not take advantage of that, put him up near the top of the order. Harris, meanwhile, lefty on lefty, is a challenge for him. He's not got the ability to step over on the other side of the plate, though I'm sure he would like to if you've ever watched Money Mike take BP. He's been known to take a few swings from the right side, but that's not what, obviously, Ozzie Albies is doing. So they're going to continue to shuffle as necessary. I mean, clearly you know the guys that you need to produce. That's Austin Riley, that's Matt Olson, that's Marcelo Zuna. But how can the Braves get something going at the top of the order so that they can give those guys a little bit more of an opportunity to drive in some runs? And look, I know that they haven't been doing the job. I mean, that's pretty apparent. The Braves are batting 180 with runners in scoring position. As I mentioned, that's 28th in Major League Baseball. That's how you end up in the bottom couple of teams in runs scored overall. But some of these guys, I think they just have to, number one, I think that there's been some luck that's been an issue this year in terms of batted ball. Nobody getting it worse, I think, than Matt Olson. But you know, who cares about luck? You care about results, and I think the Braves are ready to see some of that. But a little bit of good fortune would also go a long way for this club because they just haven't seemed to have very much of that this year.
All right, tonight it's Grant Holmes as they take on the Blue Jays. I was saying earlier, you concerned about facing this lineup? Vlad Guerrero Jr. has yet to hit a home run. I mean, Springer has some kind of left wrist injury, I believe. I don't know if he's going to be available tonight. What do you know about the Blue Jays and this lineup?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think you have to respect every opponent. Early in the year, you may not be seeing necessarily, and we can say this certainly about the Braves, the best representation of who they are, and that can be taken a couple of different ways. Either they can be struggling, and all of a sudden they get right against you, like a Danny Jansen, a former Blue Jay, did for the Toronto Blue Jays, for the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend. And then you can have a team that's just not really got anything going, and all of a sudden they're able to, you know, pile up some runs and win a baseball game. And it's just, I think you have to treat every opponent pretty much equally at this point. And a lot of what the Braves have done so well and what I think speaks to their success is they're not a club that panics and overreacts. It's not going to make it any better. It's not going to make it any easier to win games. So I think the Blue Jays come in knowing exactly, you know, who and what they are in the toughest division in baseball year in and year out. That's the American League East. And we'll see what they're able to show the Braves here in the early season. I mean, Vlad Guerrero is Vlad Guerrero, I would say. So no home runs, 3 home runs in one game, whatever the case is, he's a guy that can do it, and you have to respect that and this lineup overall.
Is it safe to say that they rolled the dice with Jared Kelnick and it just didn't work? He is 6-4-37.
It's kind of hard to say because, I mean, as much as I can look at that and say, yeah, that's bad, it is. Objectively, that's not good at all. But I'd also look at it and say, you know, how far removed are you really from, you know, trying this thing out and wanting to see what he can give you? And if you're going to truly find out, are you going to let him play every day and just go ahead and let him go through it and see if he's able to come out the other side a better player? Now, the Mariners obviously tried that for a number of years. They gave up on it. They sent him over to the Braves. And I think that it's kind of magnified because Atlanta really wasn't able to do much else in terms of either upgrading its offense, upgrading its outfield. And the Braves outfielders, as a group collectively, beyond Jared Kelnick, I mean, this is a whole group, a unit, hitting 186 with 3 home runs and 7 runs batted in. That's not going to play over the course of 15 games, which the sample size is now. So I don't know if you make any final pronunciations about what Jared Kelnick is or isn't, but somebody and somebody's plural in that outfield certainly got to step up.
And again, I didn't know him because we didn't know what he was other than his baseball card got really good last year. But that's kind of why they went with Profar. Maybe they saw this coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you knew that you had to get better somewhere and they were looking at ways to do it. And they were obviously convinced that Profar was going to be able to come close to at least what he did a year ago. Obviously, we know how that story has played out at this point, so we don't have to rehash it all. But that was another swing and a miss. So when you put the gambit to move around a bunch of money and get Jared Kelnick and try to the upside play there, you know, he got some run in 2024. I think that a lot of other things went wrong, which didn't really allow for a normal, what I would call, I don't know if you can do this in the big leagues, but I'll call it that anyway, developmental year for him. I just don't think that the stars have not aligned. Let's put it that way. And obviously the Profar signing didn't help out matters either. And this outfield is in even worse shape as they wait for Ronald Acuna Jr. to hopefully be back in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Sean Murphy's return, you talk about those home runs. He's hit 2 of them, right?
He hit 2 in one game a couple of days ago, but 3 overall in his first 4 games. And this is the Sean Murphy I think people were expecting to see.
Yeah.
Rockets all over the place. Even the double play he hit into at the end of the game on Sunday was 111 miles an hour. So this is a guy that is seeing it well. We've seen the new rec specs, so maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Maybe it's just being comfortable at the plate and feeling like you got your swing right. But as many folks as I saw out there that were like, oh, Sean Murphy, I mean, is he really that good? Do we really need him back? As a matter of fact, over the first week that you've had him, he's been pretty valuable more than a few times.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, and one of the things, Grant, we said earlier in the show, and I mean, no blank, Sherlock, they've just not put the full game together. You know, when the starting pitching, you know, can get you to a certain point, then the bullpen lets you down. And even the game they won Saturday, Iglesias got you a little nervous giving up the home run, which, you know, made it a one-run game. Do you feel that, I mean, we keep talking about that elusive spark that can be sustained. Is that provided when Strider gets up here, or is it really, we're really going to have to wait till when Acuna gets here, because that's going to be the cavalry coming over the hill?
No, it's going to be both of those guys, definitely. But on the other hand, I mean, I'd go back and look at that crazy Thursday game where the Braves, you know, had that pitching duel going on with Spencer Schwellenbach and Jesus Luzardo, and then you got to wait through a nearly 3-hour rain delay, and they come back and they play extra innings, and the bullpen holds, and Ozuna hits the walk-off home run, and I kind of felt like, okay, maybe that's the moment that everything kind of gets going. And obviously it comes from Marcell Ozuna, because who else? Because he's been the guy that has provided so many of these moments. But they're going to need, obviously, Spencer Strider back to help, I think, normalize their rotation, which now has already lost one All-Star this year who may not pitch again in Reynaldo Lopez. Let's go ahead and take another All-Star and put him in there. That will help. The bullpen still has some questions, some different roles that just have not really, I think, been established just yet. And you just got some guys where, you know, the more relievers you use in a game, the higher the chances are that somebody just doesn't have it that day. And that's not just the Atlanta Braves. That's all 30 teams. So you got to get that kind of stuff sorted out. But Strider, on the whole, I do think is a big shot in the arm for this club. But Acuna, after that, I think at that point, you really start to look around at what you've got. And if those two guys are back and healthy and hopefully able to do what they're capable of doing, I mean, you've got to put it together at that point. I don't think you can continue to question where's the offense coming from and how's this pitching staff going to look, because all the variables are out there. They're all on the table. What can this club do with all the pieces?
You worried?
Not really. It's still, I mean, the 0-7 start for the club had basically one foot in the grave. That's going to sting for a while. That's going to stick on them for a while, because they have to obviously go out and win a whole bunch of series to try to erase that or get a nice little winning streak going. But it's way too early in the season to get worried. I'm very much, and I've talked about this on From the Diamond, and I'll probably talk about it again over the next 5 or 6 weeks. Memorial Day is my first checkpoint to really look at a club and say, okay, what do we have here? But I talked about this yesterday on the show. The Houston Astros were 12-24 last year, and I was one of the many people thinking, all right, you can just start shoveling the dirt on them. They're done this year. And all they did was win the American League West. So stranger things have happened. I know nobody really wants to hear about the 21 Braves being under 500 all the way into the second half, but they were. So, you know, there's still time. But it hasn't felt good in a lot of different ways, and it hasn't looked good on the field with the struggles, particularly scoring runs. That's the kind of stuff that has to change to get you to believe and to buy in and to once again see this club for what it can be rather than simply what it is right now, which is a team that's struggling in a few different facets.
No doubt. Grant, great stuff. We'll see what they do against the Blue Jays starting tonight. Grant Holmes on the hill. We will talk tomorrow, my friend. Thank you again.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
never should have fired the hitting instructor.
When I asked him if he's worried, he's right. There are checkpoints throughout the course of the season. He's right. Memorial Day is one of them. And then you get to early July. By that point, you start to realize what you are. And that is when teams start to realize, okay, we need to either be in the trade market or we need to start thinking about selling this thing. Right. And, you know, you get to the trade deadline at the end of July, and then all of a sudden, Mike, you're in August, September, and it's playoff time. But there are not many of them. So when you start this way, those dates, they seem to come up and creep up on you quicker when you're struggling and trying to figure it out than when you're winning. Because when you're winning, nobody cares about Memorial Day. You're like, oh, yeah, Braves are great. This Memorial Day, if we are under 500 and we are 7, 8, 9 games out, which potentially could happen, you're going to be looking at this differently.